Crossroads Diaries, a 19-year-old's Vietnam journey. It's a mixture of poetry, pictures, Bible scriptures, and musical lyrics. But most of all, it is the innermost feelings of a young man who wanted to go out in a blaze of glory.
February 25th, looking at self and others. There are those who say, I'm going the wrong way. How can they know that when I don't know where I'm at? I know I'm in Nam, but where did I come from? You live for a dream and you die with a scream. How do they know what I mean? I'm here for a chosen scheme, but what does that mean? I look around and see that no one's looking at me. They're looking at their self. Maybe putting me on a shelf. I'll get off this shelf and test them and try to find what is best for others to look around and see what he wants them to be. Roger Dodger looks for a reprieve. He's wanting a break from this misery. He needs a trip to see his lady because she's going to have a baby. Gomer's being Gomer as no one else can be. He's just a man looking to live so very free. Frank has been taking many a picture and trying to see what is in his future. Robert's view on life ahead doesn't give any sight to any dread.
When did you write that?
When did I write that?
Mm-hmm.
The real writing of it?
The original.
The original, original?
Way back.
Probably, certainly the Roger Dodger and the Frank part was actually added.
Okay.
But the looking at self, I would guess maybe 10 years ago.
Okay. So kind of during the healing time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a lot of writings in the book. There's a lot more sitting on scribbled pieces of paper in the garage, in the closet, on the table in the bedroom.
Man cave.
Down in the man cave and various places down there. Just I get to thinking something and I sit there and write it.
So writing has been a good outlet for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I know that it is one of the major therapies they use for dealing with PTSD.
Yes.
And it's you don't have to write about what caused the PTSD.
Right.
But the writing, yeah, expressing the self, getting some of the things up and out. Mom has to read a lot of my stuff. and she gets to correct it appropriately.
Thank goodness for those.
Thank goodness for those who can fill in the missing words, you know, and add the EDs and take off the unnecessary S's.
Right. They speak well. Good grammar. It's nice. It's nice to have those people in the family.
It is. It sure is.
But it's also, it's beautiful the way you're able to get what's on your heart and in your mind out on paper. And it is so important. And that is important for everybody out there, that they find that outlet. Some people are more artists and, you know, if they can just draw or painting, or maybe it's craftsmanship, you know, building. I can't even think building.
Well, even building a house. I had an uncle who could not be building a house.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for an income living, and he did it for he and his wife and family. And I had an aunt, his wife, who had about 60, 70 years of marriage and never lived in a completed home until he died. Uh-huh. He completed it just before he died. And maybe that's part of his, he's done.
Right.
Because he's too old to start the next one.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And when I was thinking about craftsmanship and building, it did come to me. I was thinking about, there's somebody locally who builds wind chimes.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. Great sound, but not only that, I mean, it's therapeutic sound, but for that person, it's very healing for them.
Yes, absolutely.
And do you, I wasn't sure, do you know if that person struggles with PTSD or at least is that some form of an outlet, or is it more just an art?
I don't know what to say, when to say, how to say, okay. In a sense. I do know that it's therapeutic for him. Beyond therapeutic, he just plain enjoys doing it.
And he's good just at it.
And he's good at it. We've got a little conversation here about love. You ready for that one?
Maybe
that
fits in. I know nothing about it.
You don't?
School me a bit.
Okay. February 27th, love. I have come to believe that one of the toughest things in life is dealing with the middle of the night. Whether you're cruising around Tasty Freeze in Rubidoux or cruising around on ships in the South China Sea, the darkness encircles you, and you get the feeling, what am I doing here? Like the song about General Custard, you think, I don't want to go. But just what do I or anyone else really know? What do I know about love? What is love? Is love painfully hung up on a pretty girl with a ponytail? Or with the one I know so well? What do I love? The thought of being alive or the thought about not being here, whether it is life or death? Around and around and around I go, and where I stop, nobody knows. But this I know, what I don't know. Why do I love when I don't know what love is? What can you get from love? What are the choices of love? What are the definitions of love that haven't been explained? God is love, and God is light. But this darkness of night hides what I want to find is right. Who or what do I love? What are the choices in the middle of the night?
So you too struggle with the definition
of what is love.
Right. Yeah. But to come to that conclusion, you know, God is love.
God is love. There's no doubt about that in my mind. God is not love. At all. And God is light.
And light.
And in the middle of the night, you become very conscious of the dark.
Mm-hmm. Especially out there.
This situation goes back to being on bed and thinking about life and death and thinking about people in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where all this was stirring around.
Mm-hmm. Somebody with a little ponytail?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk about little ponytail? Little Miss Ponytail?
Thankfully my wife knows about her. Actually knows her personally. Yeah, there was a love of my life that started in sixth grade, a little blonde ponytail, and I had a major crush on her through sixth grade, through junior high. It wasn't middle school in those days, through high school. I won't say all the, I don't want to give too many identifying.
Gotcha. Okay.
But she knows she's in the book. She knows she's in the book. She has a copy of it.
Uh-huh.
And she knows that I had the crushes on her. And later on in life, we almost matched up, but not quite.
Okay.
Didn't work out. We are good friends. We have seen each other quite a few times the last few years.
Good.
And
which is more important than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
And it's a good, healthy relationship.
That's good. That's
a very positive one.
And that kind of goes into the different kinds of love. You know,
yes,
that
yes, it is a different
deep
kind.
Friendship, you have your family love, you have that romantic love, and you also have that spiritual love with God.
Yes.
And so that, you know, and his love for us. So it's good to have that understanding of how that love for someone, you know, love my friends.
Yes.
I don't love them like I do. My mom, it's just a different kind of love.
And see, as a 19-year-old floating around on a boat in the middle of the night, all of those thoughts of different types of relationships are just getting scrambled in the head.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been easier to have been in a foxhole waiting for the enemy to come over the hill, because then you've got to keep your mind focused.
Right.
But when you're just, say, driving a boat.
And you're alone
in the middle of
thoughts.
The night, the other guys are doing the other things. Mm-hmm. You're just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mind
you're
wanders. With
your thoughts, and it, yeah, it meanders and wanders and mm-hmm. goes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
February 21st. Dear Jackie, I heard that you're going to college in Arkansas. I hope that's going good for you. When we last saw each other, I was not very kind and said some things I shouldn't have. If you want to ignore this letter, that would be all right, and I wouldn't blame you. I do want you to know that I miss having you as a part of my life. I don't know if I will get through this year, but if I do, I do hope we can still be friends. We've had some good times, and I guess a few that weren't so good. Roy was a little upset with us at the all-night grad party at Disneyland. I did enjoy your visits to that little apartment in San Diego. You missed a good going-away party. I learned that I enjoy a good cold beer, but the beer we have here is not good or cold. I want you to know that you were important to me and that I think of you often. Tell your mom and dad hi for me, and I will write again if you want. Yours truly, Tom.
That's a sweet letter.
That's sweet to hear coming from a gal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice letter. I mean, as someone who has received letters from overseas myself, that's just sweet. To the point, acknowledging her, what she has going on first, and almost an apology there.
Well, an apology was needed. It was definitely needed.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
I don't mind. Okay. I don't mind at all. There's very few secrets in my life. I had been studying at Treasure Island. I purposely dropped out of electronics school. And it's, in fact, I studied to drop out because I was getting this weird mindset about wanting to go and die in a blaze of glory. And I typed a letter to Jackie that said, I don't want you in my life anymore.
Mm.
And mailed it and then didn't bother to call, write another letter. That letter was in the spring of 67. So here we are almost a year later in the blind. I'm writing her a letter. Already in Vietnam. So
she gets this letter out of the blue. Like, I don't want you in my life.
Right. Not expecting that.
Right. So that's got to be heartbreaking.
I would think so.
Pretty rough. But then out of nowhere, I want you to be a part of my life. I hope if I'm still here, then we could still be friends. I mean, that's.
And I think it was about this point in time in life that my thoughts started changing from wanting to die in a blaze of glory to more of, I accept that it may happen, but I'm okay if it doesn't.
Okay.
That's a big change.
That's a big change
for that kid that I used to know. That mm-hmm. was a major change.
That's great. What do you think brought that about? The reality of death? I mean, you've at that point seen the dead bodies.
By that point, I've seen quite a bit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And still had another 7-8 months to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think that cruising around in the middle of the night, doing nothing but sitting there on top of the boat or down inside the boat, that thinking process,
mm-hmm.
A little bit more awareness of life and
mm-hmm.
death.
Mm-hmm.
It was no longer a John Wayne movie that the same characters were back in the next movie. They just, mm-hmm. none of them came back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that reality was sinking in
mm-hmm.
quite a bit. So yeah, it was nice to see. To know that change was occurring in me, that I was looking more positive about life.
Right.
Didn't happen overnight.
Right. Well, I hope her letter was received well.
We will be finding out about that as the time goes by.
I love hearing that.
Oh, next time we're going to hear about the news, or not much.
You are listening to The Crossroads Diaries, A 19-Year-Old's Vietnam Journey by author, narrator, and host Tom Center, along with co-host Cheryl Chambers. You can find The Crossroads Diaries, A 19-Year-Old's Vietnam Journey on Amazon, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble. You can also follow Tom on Facebook at Thomas Center on Facebook.